look at the sovereignty of God, and if you read sovereignty in Webster's dictionary, you're going to find this. It says supreme excellence, or an example of it. Well, that absolutely describes God. Supreme power, without question, describes our God. Freedom from external control. Example, autonomy. Well, he is an autonomous God, without question. And then one that is sovereign. Now let's look at the definition of God. The being perfect in power, wisdom, and goodness, who is worshipped as creator and ruler of the universe. Praise God. That is in Webster's dictionary. I hope we continue to see that in Webster's dictionary. I pray so. Now, God, talking about himself. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. And then Christ, what John is talking about this, and then Christ speaks. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave." That is our Lord. Look at the similarities between what God said and what Christ said. But Christ said, "I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever." And remember, John, what did John do? He fell at his feet. He was terrified. And yet this is the Christ that he spent 3 years with. This is the Christ that he saw at the Mount of Transfiguration in his glory. And yet when he sees him in this vision in Revelation, he falls to his knees. He's scared. But it is Christ who lays his right hand on John and says, "It's all right. Don't be afraid." Again, regarding sovereignty. Looking at those verses, what did we learn? Our God has always been, is, and always will be. In all things, he is supreme. Some things that we think about as giving us supremacy are being first, the first one there, okay? The first one at the Antarctic Circle or whatever. Got to put their flag in the ground. First one on the moon, got to put their flag up there. Okay, not to say we own the moon, the United States, but you see what the precedent is. But God has always been. He's first. He's first in everything. He's supreme in everything. The Son of God died. He experienced death. God literally experienced death. God became man so he could experience death and be first in that as well and in the resurrection. But more importantly, to pay for our sins. But he is alive forever and ever. That is our Lord, the Christ. The keys of death and the grave are in his possession. That's what Christ said. I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. Well, praise the Lord. I want those keys in his hands, not in the enemy's hands. And that's where they reside to this day. I will give him the key to the house of David. This is the Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 22:22. I will give him, being the Christ, the key to the house of David, the highest position in the royal court. When he opens doors, no one will be able to close them. When he closes doors, no one will be able to open them. So our Christ, our Lord the Christ, also has not just the keys to death and the grave, but he has the keys to heaven. And look at how the word goes on to depict that. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true. This is Christ speaking again. The one who has the key of David, just referred to in the by the prophet Isaiah centuries before. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. This is not just to the church of Philadelphia. This is to you as Christian believers. And then look at this. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen. Can anybody tell me what Amen means?
So be it.
So be it. This is the one who is the so be it. Okay? The faithful and true witness. Christ is the ultimate witness of God. And I love this phrase, the beginning of God's new creation. Well, what's that mean? What does that mean for Christ to be the beginning of the new creation? He is the God slash man. Christ will forever wear the scars of his death, his crucifixion, when they stuck him in the side, the spear. You are going to get a new body that is perfect. Christ is going to wear the scars of his death for eternity. But he is the first of the new creation. He is the God-man, and this new body that he has is part of God's new creation that each and every one of us are going to receive without the scars. That is pretty awesome. But Christ is first of the new creation. Is he worthy of praise? Absolutely. Revelations 4:8. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes, inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come." And it continues. They continue this praise anthem in heaven. Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne. The one who lives forever and ever. This is repeated. I think this is important. This is important for us to understand this existence. Maybe we get 90 years. That is long, long life. But it's the blink of an eye in eternity. God is the one who has been always, who is always, and who will always be. When he said, "I am that I am," my son said the best Hebrew translation is, "I am the Ising One." Because he is in the past, in the present, and in the future. It's not this blink of an eye existence that we have in the natural realm. And here's what they are saying. And they lay down their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. And they exist because you created what you pleased." God made this existence because it pleased him. He made you and I because it pleased him. Who messed up this existence? Humankind, when man fell. All right? It's not the way God intended it. But there is coming a day when it will once again be the way God intended it. He is our Creator God. Supreme and sovereign over all that he has made. And it's all about him. His aims and his direction. But here's something that is so amazing. It is about him. It's not about me. It's not about you. But in his aims and his direction, what did he do? This is amazing. He included us. Why else would God become a man? Why would he stoop so low to become one like he created, and then to allow his own creation to spit upon him, to abuse him, to beat him, to crucify him, except to pay the price of our penalty of sin. So he included us in his plans. Well, praise God. That is miraculous. Then the angel I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand toward heaven. He swore an oath in the name of the one who lives forever and ever. There's that phrase again. Who created the heavens and everything in them. There's that phrase again. The earth and everything in it, and the sea and everything in it. He said, there will be no more delay. When the seventh angel blows his trumpet, God's mysterious plan will be fulfilled. It will happen just as he announced it to his servants, the prophets. Amen?
Amen.
There's a reason to study the Old Testament right there. As he announced it to his servants and his prophets. It is all about God, but look what God did. He included his plans and the revelation of his plans to his prophets. You know what those prophets were? They were men, just like us. They were men and women. Don't forget the prophetesses. All right? They're called out in Scripture as well. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet. And there were loud voices shouting in heaven. The world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. The 24 elders sitting on their thrones before God fell with their faces to the ground and worshiped him. And they said, we give thanks to you, Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is and who always was, for now you have assumed your great power and have begun to reign. God reigns in heaven. God is sovereign over the earth. But there is coming a time when even this earth, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. It's right there. And it will happen. We can claim it as of now. Just think, if you were God, you knew this, you were there in the past, you are there in the past, you are here in the present, and you are there in the future. God sees it all. So in God's mind, he is already in that statement. He is already there doing that. It's just that we have this weird natural existence and we're stuck in a time zone. Okay? But that's time. But God is present all the time. Outside of time. And that's pretty awesome. The nations were filled with wrath. Look around the world.
Yeah.
The nations were filled with wrath. But now the time of your wrath, God's wrath, has come. It is time to judge the dead and reward your servants and prophets, as well as your holy people and all who fear your great name. From the least to the greatest, it is time to destroy all who have caused destruction on the earth. Is God happy about the destruction that man has caused on the earth? Absolutely not. There will be judgment. But to those who are his servants, those who are his prophets, those who are his holy people, those who fear his name from the least to the greatest, there will be a reward. He said to me, these are the ones who died, and I want to explain something. In the Greek, we get some interesting translations. But in the Greek, all right, the way we read it, these are the ones who died in the Great Tribulation. But the Greek actually says, these are the ones who came out of the Great Suffering. That's what the Greek actually says. So it has a broader application. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. This is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This, I would say, generally speaking, affirms to us that God will reward those who seek and serve Him. Many of you out there are doing things all the time for the church. Just because your name wasn't on that list does not exclude you. You are part of this. God will reward those who seek and serve Him. He is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead and the ruler of all the kings of the world. Do you believe that He is the first to rise from the dead? That He is King of Kings? Would you just answer and say, yes, I do. Amen. All glory to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding His blood for us. Do you believe that Christ shed His blood for you and has freed you from your sins? Respond by saying, yes, I do, if you do.
Yes, I do.
Amen. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God, His Father. Do you believe that you are part of His kingdom of priests? If you believe so, say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Amen. If you did not believe those things, you would not be fit to serve in His church. But you believe those things. Or do you believe that God lives with you? I so believe. Say that.
I so believe.
Amen. We are not at the time when every tear will be wiped away, but you will help make that come about. Tears will still happen, but you are God's people on this earth. All of you are God's representatives. That's why Paul used the analogy of the body. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. You are His ambassadors. You will be giving the water of life to various and sundry people who are coming under your ministry, which is the ministry of Jesus Christ being lived by His body, the church, in our age. Understand that. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Stand with me. Let's read verse 7 together. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. If you believe that is true, shout amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank You so much for Your promises, for these proclamations. These things were literally proclaimed in the vision that John saw. Lord, we ask that You would apply them to our hearts, to our minds. Lord, apply them to our service, to everyone here who is going to be serving You. They will be seeking You to serve You better. Lord God, may You apply these things in our lives. May we be reminded that we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have been cleansed. We have been called and we have been chosen to be Your people, to be Your ambassadors, Lord, to go forth into a world that desperately needs You, to minister in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to minister as he would minister bodily if he was among us. But Lord, you gave us your Spirit to work in all of us as Christ would work. And Lord God, may this be so. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of the people said, Amen.
Amen.